Steve and Ted in the morning now. Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 here on a Tuesday morning, 30 degrees. Lawmakers may be working on Christmas.
Most sources on Capitol Hill are not sure what President Trump is willing to accept, facing a Friday night deadline for a funding deal on some parts of the government, such as Homeland Security. House Republican Whip Steve Scalise told Fox Democrats are not willing to budge.
The president ran on securing America's border. This fight is about securing America's border, not just the wall.
Maryland Democrat Congressman Elijah Cummings told reporters real people would be hurt if there's a partial government shutdown just days before Christmas.
When I think about the inconvenience, when I think about people being furloughed, when I think about people not being able to pay their rent, not being able to buy toys for their kids at Christmas.
On Capitol Hill, Mike Emanuel, Fox News.
In a span of 23 hours, Saturday and Sunday, there were 8 businesses robbed throughout Wichita, part of 2 different crime sprees and an isolated heist. The initial spree included 4 gas stations robbed Saturday evening in less than an hour.
A general suspect description is an unknown race male wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt with a large Nike emblem on the front, gray sweatpants, dark shoes, gloves, was wearing a skull or monkey mask with white teeth and armed with a black handgun.
Police officer Charlie Davidson says that suspect is still outstanding. The next spree took place Sunday morning, which included 3 gas stations robbed. Within 2 hours of the Sunday robberies, police arrested a 17-year-old, a boy, and a 16-year-old. They were booked into the juvenile detention center. Final robbery of the weekend occurred early Sunday evening at the Subway sandwich shop at Pawnee and Seneca.
A woman from Missouri who intentionally drove her vehicle into the Kansas River in Lawrence has pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and attempted first-degree murder.
26-year-old Sharon Dingledine of Columbia, Missouri, entered the plea Monday. As part of the plea, she won't be eligible for parole for 25 years. Prosecutors said Dingledine drove a car into the Kansas River near downtown Lawrence in August in an effort to kill herself and her children. Rescuers pulled Dingledine and her 1-year-old son, Elijah Lake, from the water, but were not able to save her 5-year-old daughter, Amy Bradley. Her body was recovered from the water the next day. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
The Wichita City Council today will consider how to pay for a loan to keep the Starlight Drive-In Theater in business.
Councilmember James Clendenin has proposed taking $200,000 in proceeds from the sale of Hyatt Regency to make a loan to the Starlight so it can buy new digital projectors. The city got $20 million when it sold the Hyatt back in 2016. From that $20 million, each council district received $6 million. Clendenin wants to use part of that money for the Starlight since it's in his council district. Gordon Basham, KNSS News.
Wichita Mayor Jeff Longwell tells KNSS News the city is about to make a big announcement.
We're going to be making I'll just put it this way. There's a secret announcement that's going to happen Wednesday, and I can't say any more than that, but it's going to be pretty spectacular.
Longwell commented, teased us during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show here on KNSS.
Delta Airlines is cracking down on service and support animals with a new policy starting today.
Delta says it's been inundated with reports of misbehaving service and support animals, including attacks and the soiling of interiors of planes. So they've banned emotional support animals on flights longer than 8 hours, and they're banning service and support animals under 4 months of age completely. The airline's gotten tough on emotional support animals before. Last June, they banned pit bull-type dogs after 2 employees were bitten by a pit bull traveling as a support animal, and customers now have to show an immunization record for their animal. Jill Nato, Fox News.
For the 5th time in recent weeks, joggers have been attacked by a coyote in Frisco, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
As Sherry DeVore and Marcia Foster were wrapping up a 45-minute run, they suddenly found themselves face-to-face with a coyote.
It didn't take long before it was starting to lunge at my friend Marcia. It knocked her down.
DeVore says after 2 minutes, they started getting very tired, but the coyote wasn't.
It just kept coming and coming and coming.
DeVore says she knew the only way they were going to survive is if they got out to the road. On his way to work, Michael Harvey says he immediately realized a coyote was trying to attack them. Harvey says he thought about trying to run over the coyote, but it was too close to the women. So he started honking his horn, and the women jumped in his car.
Fox's James Rose reporting. Now look at the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. This nice stretch of weather is going to continue a little while longer with a partly cloudy sky. Sunshine up to 56 for the high this afternoon. Clouding up tonight, our low 38. We will be breezy tomorrow with a high 54. Thursday, sunny, windy, and 52. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, south wind at 5 miles per hour and 30 degrees. 6:35 now, Steve and Ted in the morning. Ted, I just... That's a little frightening, that Frisco attack of the women joggers by that coyote. Usually, in my mind, not an aggressive animal. So you got to suspect somebody might be rabid or something, or sick in some way. Not necessarily a rabid, I guess, but a wild animal like a coyote to attack a couple of women, that's pretty brazen. They're pretty sneaky, quiet, I think mostly nighttime animals. And to come out like that in daylight, that is interesting and a little frightening, too. A little frightening.
Or if you've got a coyote that obviously population is growing in that area and it's probably feeling that its territory is being impinged upon by the humans.
Where have I seen one? I've seen a deer right over here at Kellogg and Rock. I think I've seen a coyote over in that area too. I mean, yeah, we're infringing on their territory now, and we're seeing more and more wild animals in urban settings. Talk about a big pig, though. Authorities in Florida say a 400-pound hog was captured over the weekend in the city of Paul Bay. Florida Today reports a wildlife trapper got a call reporting a very large boar hog that was tearing up sod around a playground. Police blocked traffic around the area, and trapper James Dean came along with four hunting dogs and four men. Apparently this was not your run-of-the-mill, you know, farm hog. This was the boar. Dogs sniffed out the huge hog within minutes, and the crew tied up the swine before lugging it into a cage. And Dean says the hog was euthanized. So we're going to have some wild hog bacon going on here, I guess. Probably a wild boar infringing on human territory.
Yeah, perhaps.
And a North Carolina woman has been charged with driving while impaired after a crash with a school bus that sent 13 students to a hospital. The North Carolina Highway Patrol says Kimberly Ann Austin was also charged with driving left of center. Austin's car crossed the center line, hit the bus carrying a driver and 19 students. The patrol says 12 of the students suffered minor injuries, while one was in critical condition but expected to survive. So, the lady was apparently schnockered there when she was driving. 6:37, Steve and Ted. Ted, is this tis the season for armed robberies? Wow, that story you brought back from City Hall yesterday, about eight robberies.
Eight businesses robbed in less than 24 hours.
You think by three different entities, another pair
here?
Yeah,
there was one crime spree in an hour, another crime spree in an hour, and then
two youngsters.
And one more isolated.
It could be, the time of the season. I mean, it's Christmas time, and I think the police will say there's going to be a spike in this kind of thing.
We usually see it this time of year.
Yeah, people want to. In the spirit of giving, they want to have something to give, so they take it from somebody, I guess.
But we usually don't see the spree, somebody hitting
an
hour.
Saturday and Sunday, they were pretty doggone busy. And one of these guys, I like the monkey mask bandit. That ought to be pretty, somebody ought to know something about that out there. Give a call to Crime Stoppers, 267-2111, for an anonymous tip. The monkey mask bandit. Has that person done that before? I think we've seen the monkey mask.
We've had a skeleton or monkey mask before.
Seen the monkey mask out there before. All right. 7 days until Christmas with Steve and Ted at 6:38 here on a Tuesday morning. Time for the KNSS Commodities Update with Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve. Now, Monday, the cattle complex gapped lower, had its lowest trade of the past four sessions, and closed negative. News-wise, there was a real lack of price negative news for the cattle futures. Selling appeared to be mainly profit-taking and managed money selling. The five-area feed yard sold only 60,000 head of cattle, but it was at steady money to slightly higher last week. Lean hog futures also traded and closed negative yesterday. China has found new cases of African swine fever. At the close yesterday, Feb cattle, 85 cents lower at 121.55, JN feeders, $2.20 lower at 145.37, and Feb lean hog, 67 lower at 63.82. The wheat and soybean futures closed positive, and the corn was negative yesterday on the close. The wheat, corn, and soybean futures all held in five trading sessions compared to last Friday's range. The weekly wheat export inspections Monday were easily a new marketing year high. Now, overnight, we're looking now at the March Casey wheat, 3¾ cents lower at 518¼. March corn is unchanged at 384. January soybeans, 3¼ cents higher at 908. We're seeing new lows being made in January crude oil, now down $1.41 at $48.47. February gold's 30 cents higher, $1,252.10. The March S&P 13¾ points higher, $25.69.5. The March dollar index 28 cents lower at $96.27. And March Dow Jones futures up 132 points at $23,817. For commodity trading or ag marketing advisory, contact Loeffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tom, what's urgent at the phone on a farm right now? Anything that needs to be done that the farmers are concentrating on other than putting on some sunscreen and going out on the tractor and getting some nice tanning weather out there? It's beautiful, man.
Well, it is nice weather right at the moment. But, most of the fall harvesting has been completed, but there are still some guys that are still trying to get crops out of the field because the ground has not dried up enough. It hasn't frozen enough for them. There's a little bit of harvesting still to get done. But now a lot of work going into getting ready for next season to start planting the spring crops, getting your inputs put in place, getting machinery ready for next spring. And, of course, livestock producers got those cattle and hogs have got to be fed every day.
That's right. The livestock are out there every day needing to be fed and taken care of, just like you. I mean, I'm sure you need to be that special care that your wife gives you every day, right?
You bet. And thank goodness she does that.
Thank goodness. We all thank her for that. But so one thing you mentioned there that people I don't think realize is that there's a lot of machinery on a farm. And in fact, some of it's kind of dangerous. And I know that you're aware of the fact that accidents occur, and it's a bad thing, but they do. But a farmer has to keep those things in running order, has to keep them in good shape.
That's exactly right. And they're not only large, they're expensive.
Yep.
They can be dangerous, especially if you misuse them. And the other thing that people don't realize is they're used seasonally. They're not like a lot of your, manufacturing plants where you're using equipment, every day.
Right.
Several hours a day. A lot of this stuff is seasonal, which makes it very expensive when you're only figuring you're using it a few weeks out of the whole year, and you've got an investment anywhere of $200,000 to almost $500,000 in one piece of equipment.
You're saying large, expensive, and somewhat dangerous. It kind of sounds like a description of me. I don't know.
Uncontrollable.
Yeah, and uncontrollable. That is correct. Thank you, sir. Hey, it's
Thank
a 642
you.
With Steve and Ted, and I've got a CD, Mannheim Steamroller CD. It's called Christmasville. I'm going to give that away right now to one of our lucky listeners. Throw in a big old box of hot chocolate mix. What a great, great prize that is. 869-1330, caller number 5. 869-1330, caller number 5. Mannheim Steamroller, Christmasville, and some hot chocolate to go with it. 6:43 now, Steve and Ted, Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, on the way. Are you afraid to retire? Steve and Ted on KNSS.